Happy Friday, everybody. This is February 19th and the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Adam Azer, Heath Cummings. Scott White and Al Melchior are out today, so it's just me and Heath. We're going to take some of your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, some of your tweets, and review the latest news and the latest mock drafts that we've done. Heath, big weekend coming up.
You know, it's Friday, and somebody's got to work.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess it's you and I. I don't have a lot of big plans this weekend. NBA's back, so it's a very busy day for me with NBA DFS.
Right.
I've got a real draft coming up very shortly that I've got to prep for.
Ooh.
That's a categories. So we just did a categories mock, so that works out well.
Yeah, it's a real draft, huh? What pick do you have?
I don't know yet.
Oh, what pick do you want?
I want three.
Three, right. We actually have a question about that we will get to in a moment. Again, the email address is fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. So we'll start with some emails. Then we'll go through the notes. For example, J.J. Hoover has the inside track to be the Cincinnati Reds closer. We'll talk about that. Baltimore closing in on signing Dexter Fowler and Yovani Gallardo and just some more. Not that much of a newsy show. Really, we'll just have some nice fantasy baseball discussions. And also, if you play daily fantasy baseball, that's something that will be addressed on our podcast when the season starts. We'll give some DFS advice, but it won't be a huge focal point because we have a daily fantasy live podcast that Heath and Chris Towers host. And they're, you know, basically every day telling you how to set your lineup. So make sure you check that out.
And that returns today.
Yeah, baby. You had the All-Star break. You're refreshed. Bring it on. All right. You ready for some emails?
I'm ready for some emails. I hope there's lots of nice emails and nobody being mean.
There, you know, I don't see any mean emails, but I do see the first one that I put in the notes and I forgot to include the guy's name.
So you're really on the ball.
Yeah. So there we go. We're one.
I have a
one.
Question for you.
Yeah.
How many Marlins hoodies do you own?
I don't own one Marlins hoodie.
Okay. How many Miami Hurricanes hoodies do you own?
Just one, but I wear it pretty much every day of my life.
Okay, I was just curious.
No, okay, so you're looking at me via Skype, and I live in New York, and I work from home, so I haven't shaved in like 5 days. I was working like in bed this morning, so I pretty much just got out of bed, and I slept in what I'm wearing right now, Heath, but it's cold as hell, you know?
Well, so, you know, I was just wondering, because I don't, like, the last podcast I did was Tuesday?
Yeah.
Have you taken that hoodie off since then?
I don't think I wore, this Wednesday. I didn't wear this Tuesday.
So it must have been Wednesday when I was on, because you were wearing that last time I saw you.
Yeah, and I was wearing it yesterday too. But I actually meant to change this morning, but I ran out of time and I was gonna delay our podcast even more. I didn't want to, so I was like, forget it. He won't say anything.
Why would I say anything about it?
And of course he did, yeah, so, I need to shower. Anyway, here's the email from Hillary, but why not? I'd like to point out no mention of Justin Bour in your last podcast. Also, I had Chris Davis the year he crushed 2013 and in a keeper league. So, of course, I kept him in 2014 and he killed me. This is Chris Davis of the Orioles. Since then, I strategized to not put all my eggs in one basket. So last year, I drafted Duda, Pujols, Kendrys Morales, and I picked up Justin Bour. That combination led me to winning the league, as I did in 2013. Anything can go wrong with one guy. I will be deploying the same tactic in my auction draft next month. So basically, Hillary is saying she will be taking a lot of first basemen. And why did we not mention Justin Bour in our first base preview?
Well, because we didn't have 2 hours to do a podcast. I feel like maybe we did at the very, very end talk about Justin Bour, but maybe not. I talked about him yesterday on our video, and I like him more in Roto. I don't think he's probably going to play against left-handed pitchers.
Yeah.
He could hit 25 home runs, maybe 30.
Yeah, Bour hit 23 in 129 games last year.
I don't see him playing more than 129 games as a thing.
Right, so he had 404 at-bats, Justin Bour, and he was terrible. He hit all 23 of his home runs against righties, so bad against lefties last year. And if he does not get to 500 at-bats, you know, which he probably won't if he sits against lefties, right?
It's doubtful.
Yeah. Only three first basemen finished in the top 16 in Roto with less than 500 at bats. One was Miguel Cabrera. He's not going to be that good. Probably. One was Mark Teixeira. I don't think he's going to do what Teixeira did last year. And the other was Brandon Belt, who had 492 at bats. So, you know, unless he takes a big step and gets better from 262 and 23 home runs, probably going to have a tough time finishing in, let's say, the top 15 at first base, but that does make him viable as a corner infield option.
Right. Yes, I think he is viable as a corner infield option, and he's somebody that if you look at his schedule, and he's going to be on the road and not facing any lefties that week, he'd be a very nice streaming option.
Yeah, he was a lot better. Actually, am I seeing this right? He had batted 44 points higher at home than on the road, I wrote. Did I have that backwards?
I don't know, and I don't really care. He hits in a bad park, so I assume he's probably going to be... Listen, I think what we found in the offseason, Chris Towers and I were looking at this, and the park factor thing is a little overblown sometimes, and generally hitters are better at home even if their home park is a bad park.
Okay, well, I will say...
So maybe I shouldn't have said if he's on the road. If he's not going to be facing any... If his team's not going to be facing any lefties, he's fine. The problem is that... Teams know in the sixth, seventh inning they can bring in a left-handed reliever, and you either sit him or he's out.
Yeah. Justin Bourne did bat better at home, but he's had pretty much the same power numbers home and on the road. Okay. Anyway, that's Justin Bourne. And then, yeah, in terms of just drafting a lot of first basemen, I'm kind of surprised you won last year with Duda, Pujols, Kendrys Morales, and Justin Bourne. To be honest,
Kendrys Morales was pretty awesome.
He was pretty good. I don't know if I'd use the awesome word with him.
Considering what he cost you, I would call him awesome.
Pujols was awesome for a big stretch.
Right.
And yes, Kendrys Morales certainly outperformed his draft position, but that's just interesting because I really like having an elite first baseman. We talked about it enough on Wednesday, but it's important to me, and Hillary did not have one last year, and she won her league.
Do you know for sure this person's name is Hillary now?
Oh, it's definitely not Hillary. We haven't had one female emailer. You know.
So sorry to whoever you were.
Yeah, I just...
It's a bad job by Adam.
Sorry. Okay, anyway, let's go to Lee from Hoboken. Probably a male. I let everyone fight it out for the top seven and diminish their budgets while I get these... Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
I believe that is part of...
Yeah, that's part of... Hillary's email. First email.
Good God.
Okay, here we go.
From bed's a bad idea. Maybe you ought to get out of bed, take a shower, drink a coffee.
Yeah, I don't.
Get your stuff together.
I don't drink coffee, but yeah, I could have showered. It probably would have been a good idea. Okay. All right, so he says, hey, Isaac, Taylor, and Zach.
Okay.
You know them? That I feel like, do you know who that is?
I should.
I feel like those are the Hansons. And yes, that's the hand.
Okay,
the
I shouldn't. Hand.
I shouldn't have. Should Chris Davis with a K now on Oakland really be devalued that much? If you look at all of his home runs last year and map them in Oakland Stadium, every home run would have cleared the fences. This seems to be an overreaction similar to that of Nelson Cruz going to Seattle last year.
There's a point there. I wrote about Chris Davis over the weekend, and I think he might be referencing either my article or your discussion on the podcast.
Yeah.
Because I said it was a downgrade for Davis. Now, the thing is, and I looked at this when I was writing about it, before anyone had adjusted their rankings, Scott and Al and I were three of the lowest in the industry on Davis.
Okay.
So I don't know that I'm devaluing him that much. It's just that I never had him ranked that high in the first place. I don't also completely agree with if you look at all of his home runs, they would have left Oakland Stadium.
It is true, by the way. I'm looking.
I know it's true. I looked it up.
Okay.
I don't feel like the ball carries as well in Oakland, in the Bay, as it does in Milwaukee in the Dome.
Okay, that's interesting.
But there is a point that if somebody. Like, it didn't have that effect on Cruz. Now, I would argue that Cruz was exceptionally lucky last year. He had a 31% home run to fly ball rate, which is, if I remember right, like the highest in 5 years.
Okay, but he also is like a legit power hitter that has power at all parks. And
Cruz?
And I, yeah. And I kind of feel the same way about Davis. Like, I think I was probably wrong in what I said the other day, because if you look at the home road splits for Chris Davis with a K.
He was awful last year on the road.
Okay, but it was mostly batting average. His power wasn't that much worse. And 2 years ago, his numbers were almost identical, at least his OPS, home road.
I looked for his career. His OPS is about 75 points lower on the road.
But that's mostly last year. And it was mostly batting average. He's only had 2 years in his career, right? With significant at-bats?
Okay, so the power numbers are basically the same as what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I know home run-wise, he's hit about 60% of his home runs at home.
I think if you look at like isolated power, it was probably pretty close last year, if you could bring that up. But I'll talk about where you guys have him in your rankings. You have Chris Davis in Roto, 57th. Al has him 57th. Scott has him 59th. You have him behind power hitters like Jorge Soler, or, you know, supposed power hitters. Jorge Soler, Steven Souza, Jay Bruce. You have him just ahead of Marcelo Zuna and Byron Buxton. But the same dollar value for most of these guys. Yeah, I don't know. He's interesting because Chris Davis, he finished pretty strong last year.
Which I cared nothing about.
Yeah, but it was 53 games with a 934 OPS. I think he's going to be a streaky guy, you know? Chris Carter-esque.
And one of the reasons I said that I was downgrading him more. Okay, his ISO last year at home was 310,
uh-huh.
Which is phenomenal, like one of the best in baseball.
Yep.
On the road, it was 196, which is a pretty decent.
Okay.
But that's a big difference.
That is a big difference, yeah. But it's not bad power on the road.
One of the reasons I said that I thought it was more of a downgrade for him is he is so reliant on home runs.
Mm-hmm.
He strikes out near 30% of the time.
Right, he's not going to give you a good batting average. He doesn't steal bases.
Right.
So he needs to homer.
And I'm not sure. Like, I think one of the things people are thinking is this is an upgrade in the lineup, and I'm not sure that it is.
I'd rather have, I mean, I know you have him back-to-back, basically. I'd rather have Byron Buxton than Chris Davis.
I think that's just a philosophical thing. Yeah. I think if you were putting a gun to my head and saying who's going to score more fantasy points this year, I think we'd all pick Chris Davis. But Buxton has a much higher upside.
Yeah, at that point in the draft, I'm probably drafting for upside.
I think it depends on what you already have. Like, if you've got two upside outfielders already that are a little bit risky, you're probably going with Davis.
Sure. Okay, so Brian says, "Dear Yogi, Smokey, and Pooh," those are Bears.
Yes, they are.
"I'm in a head-to-head 12-team redraft league. We draft in 2 weeks. I have the 10th pick. I basically know who will be there. Would you recommend against the first two picks of my draft being Correa and Altuve because they're on the same team and they both are infielders? Or would you recommend it because they're both potentially elite talents and fill up scarce positions? You know, he won't be getting an outfielder or a first baseman or a starting pitcher with either of his first two picks. So how would you feel about a Correa-Altuve start?"
I don't care if they're on the same team. That doesn't bother me. I don't care that they're both infielders. That doesn't bother me. I don't feel like I have to get an outfielder. I'm not going to take a starting pitcher probably ever in the first two rounds this year. But as we talked about on the first base preview, I do have a little bit of concern of not getting a first baseman in the first two rounds.
Yeah.
That being said, I think Correa at 10 is good value. I think Altuve in the second is excellent value. So I don't hate it.
Yeah, I think it's personal preference, right? Like, if you feel like you're okay with the fallback options. And if you feel like there's a chance you can get Chris Davis late in round three with a 10th pick in round three.
Oh, that is a near perfect start to the draft.
Yeah, because a lot of people are going to take starting pitchers really early and push the hitters down even more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's something to consider. Okay, this is from Doug in Astoria, Queens. He says, "Hey, Walt, Charlie, and Ben." Walt, Charlie, and Ben. I don't know. Lostpedia. What the heck is that Lost?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, see, that's me, like, looking at Google, reading something out loud, and not taking
Scott
a second to process
that
it.
In milliseconds.
Yeah, yes, he would have. Okay, if able to choose your draft spot, what spot and strategies would you try to implement?
Well, I already mentioned that I'd like to have the third pick. Mm-hmm. Because I think that makes it pretty easy for you. You just take Harper, Trout, or Goldschmidt, whoever's left. And if I took Harper or Trout with third pick, then I'd take a first baseman with my second pick. If I took Goldschmidt with my first pick, then I'd probably take an outfielder at the end of the second round. My general strategy this year, I said I wasn't going to take a starting pitcher in the first two rounds, probably. I'm most definitely going to take one before the end of the fourth, and I'll probably have two by the end of the fifth.
Yeah, I think that the outfielders, like, we talk a lot about first basemen, and I feel like there's a similar trend going on with outfielders. Like, I don't really love them in, like, the third round. Sometimes I feel like there are guys that I'm reaching for in the third round. And you know what? Let's take a look at ADP of outfielders. Okay. So obviously you got Trout and Harper coming off the board, and then McCutcheon goes in the first round. And do we have Chris Bryant as outfield eligible? No.
We do not.
Right. Okay. So then you got AJ Pollock. And then after that, I really like Mookie Betts. But I do feel like it's a bit of a leap of faith to just say, like, oh, surefire round two guy. You know,
no,
but that's...
I think he should be, like, right at the 2-3 turn. I'd rather have Joey Bats.
I forgot Giancarlo Stanton, who obviously is a first rounder. AJ Pollock is the fifth outfielder off the board. This is Fantasy Pros ADP. Mookie Betts is the sixth. Jose Bautista is the seventh. Starling Marte, Charlie Blackmon, and then a guy that I find myself ending up with a lot, George Springer.
Right. Well, Chris Davis.
Is he? Oh, he is outfield eligible.
Yes. And he's, like, I'd rather have him more than most of the recent outfielders you've mentioned.
Yeah, but I feel like a lot of these guys at the end of round two, like, Bautista I'm fine with, but, you know, the other ones, like, it does feel a little early to me.
Right. No, I agree completely. And then even past that, Nelson Cruz, Yoenis Cespedes, Ryan Braun, Lorenzo Cain, those guys all scare me.
So maybe that's a case, if you have a top three pick, for taking either Trout or Harper and then taking a first baseman at the end of round two.
Yes, I think I'd prefer that path. I've got Goldschmidt third of the three.
All right, here's an email from Christopher. I listen to your podcast regularly. I can't figure out why Billy Burns does not get more love in the rankings. He's 26 years old. He's in his second year. Last year, he batted .296 with 70 runs, 26 steals. He homered five times. Is it unreasonable to think that Billy Burns could steal 40 bases, hit 10 home runs, hit around .296? Sounds like Brett Gardner from a few years ago. Billy Burns is underrated, according to Christopher.
I agree. And I think he's overrating him. So can it be both ways?
Well, he is overrating him because Billy Burns only hit .294, not .296. So,
oh well, there you go. I have moved. I wrote a piece earlier this week on late round steals, and as I was researching that, I moved both Billy Burns and Delino DeShields up in my rankings.
Yeah,
because I think they both were underrated. I think Burns could absolutely steal 40 bases. That wouldn't surprise me at all. The 10 home runs part, he had a .098 ISO last year, which is really low. It's also higher than any ISO he ever had in the minors.
Yeah, not a home run hitter at all.
He's not really even a doubles or triples hitter. He profiles as like a D. Gordon type hitter.
So is he any different than Ben Revere?
No. I feel like he has more upside.
Yeah. So he's definitely a late round steal. Cause we did an AL only draft and like Delino DeShields was on the board really late, I feel. I don't really remember where did I say NL only? I meant AL only if I said NL. I don't remember where Billy Burns went, but yeah, these guys might be a little underrated. Tell me what you make of this with Billy Burns. In his first 50 games, he batted .324 and he stole 15 bases. In his last 75 games, he batted .273 and stole 11 bases. He wasn't nearly as good in 75 games.
Yeah, I don't care.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I mean, I just don't know. Okay, .324, .273 to split the difference. Say he's probably going to hit around .295.
I think you .290.
Okay.
And I'm hoping for 40 stolen bases. I moved Burns and DeShields right next to each other, actually. I've got them at 165 and 166 overall in my top 300.
All right,
that's in head-to-head categories.
Would you rather draft Buxton or Burns?
I think Burns is safer. Buxton has more upside. So if it's, I've got Burns, I'm sure, rated higher. Yeah, I've got Burns rated quite a bit higher. But I could understand if you're really solid. I've got all of them ahead of Revere, actually.
Would you rather draft Gerardo Parra, the Colorado Rocky, or Billy Burns?
I have Parra ranked ahead of all of them.
Okay.
He provides you with more than just steals and maybe a good average. Like, Parra could hit 25 home runs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're going to take a little break from the emails and go over some of the news. First, Heath, you're doing your first real draft today. Like, you feel ready? You feel good about
it? No, not today. It's coming up. It's not like...
I'm sorry.
I'm prepping for it.
You're prepping for it. You said, like, how ready do you feel? Because I feel fairly ready. Again, I always want to be done with all the position previews. Then I unearth a lot of things that I never unearthed, that I hadn't unearthed before, and then I feel pretty good about it. I'm not quite ready yet.
I'm not quite ready, but I'm moving that direction.
Okay. You have any good team names?
I just joined a National League only team league, mm-hmm. which I'm not real fond of National League rules. So in protest, I named my team the Designated Hitters.
Oh, man. When I saw that article about how the DH, it was all a big, like, just kidding. But the DH might be coming to the NL sooner rather than later or whatever. Remember, like, a month ago?
All right.
I was like, that's just great news. That is great news.
Yes. Give more people jobs.
Yeah. More okay. designated yes. Age. Make baseball great again is what
exactly.
he was saying. All right. Baltimore, they are closing in on Dexter Fowler and Yovani Gallardo. All right. So how would Dexter Fowler compare with some of the outfielders we talked about? You know, Parra, Billy Burns. If let's say he's batting near the top of the order or at the top of the order for the Orioles.
If he goes to Baltimore, I'll probably bump him up maybe just a little bit ahead of Burns and DeShields.
Okay. All right.
He probably right into that Parra area.
Parra for the course. Justin Turner, Dodgers third baseman, coming off knee surgery, hoping to be ready for opening day. And we talked about this when we previewed catchers. Could Kyle Schwarber in left field platoon with Javier Baez, because Baez would play against lefties in theory. Schwarber was terrible against lefties. Well, Baez has been working out in the outfield, so that looks like it's a fairly real possibility. Arizona shortstop Gene Segura going to see some time at second base this spring. Now, if you want another guy who's going to get dual eligibility, DJ LeMahieu, he will not move to shortstop if Jose Reyes is out for an extended period of time due to the domestic violence charges. But Trevor Story could have an opportunity there.
Yeah.
Heath, big news. A dog named Manny Machado won Best of Breed at the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show.
That's big news.
Yeah, it is. It's a strange name for a dog, Manny Machado. But he won, so congratulations. And have you seen Best in Show?
I don't think so. Is it about, like,
It's about
shows?
The dog show. It is so
I've
good.
I've definitely not seen it.
It's amazing. Have you seen Spinal Tap?
No.
You know, really? What?
No.
All right. You're a very weird guy. I don't get it. Like, you can't name, like, three Billy Joel songs, if I remember correctly, from last year. Is that right?
Oh, I'm sure that's probably correct, yes.
That's unbelievable.
I didn't really ever have a Billy Joel stage.
Do you need a Billy Joel stage? Like, he's one of the most famous artists of all time.
I don't think I ever owned a Billy Joel
Neither
cassette
did I.
or CD.
Neither did I.
Or I've never downloaded Billy Joel onto my iPhone.
How much older are you? You're in your, what, mid to late 30s?
Oh, I'm probably the right age for Billy Joel.
Yeah, this is like, you should be your wheelhouse.
Now, I don't know if it's quite my wheelhouse.
It's really crazy. I don't get what you watched or listened to. You've never seen Spinal Tap, and you don't know any Billy Joel songs. Just okay. Anyway,
I do know Billy Joel songs. I'm not good at remembering the names of, like, if you started playing a Billy Joel song, I'd probably sing along.
All right, how about this? We'll play a game.
Okay.
Billy Joel or Elton John?
Billy Joel or Elton John? But you're just gonna say the name of the song?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
First of all, are you familiar with? Like, can you name three Elton John songs?
Probably not.
Okay, so then this will be more fun. Tiny Dancer.
Elton John.
Candle in the Wind.
Billy Joel.
No, that'd be Elton John. I'll give you an easy one. Piano Man.
Billy Joel.
She's Always a Woman.
Billy Joel.
Yes! He flipped a fake coin, everybody, and he came up with the right answer. This is unbelievable. Okay, Heath, I'll let you off the hook. Thank you for playing Billy Joel or Elton John. The most important news, Brian Price saying that J.J. Hoover has the inside track to be the Reds closer. And J.J. Hoover, whenever he gets a save chance, he blows it. He blew 6 out of 7 save chances last year. But he did have better numbers than Jumbo Diaz. So anyway,
is going to inspire some research from me next week. I just decided this, so maybe somebody will shoot it down. But I think I'm going to write about how important it is for closers to be on decent teams.
Oh, I think that is a really good research story. I actually looked it up. It's easier to track how good a closer was in head-to-head points leagues because,
right.
You know, we give a point value for saves rather than the roto leagues. And like last year, for example, Aroldis Chapman was, I think, the 4th best reliever in roto, mm-hmm. but the 10th best reliever in points leagues. And we know Hoover's not putting up Chapman's numbers, but Chapman only had 33 saves.
The worst team.
Well, let me just say last year was a little bit of an anomaly, I believe. Like, I don't know if there was any closer in the top 8, if not the top 10, that was on a sub 500 team. But I think the year before that, it wasn't quite as drastic.
Well, and I won't just use 1 year sample size. I'll go back a ways.
I know you.
But yeah, because I seem to value it much more than Scott and Al do. They both kind of feel like bad closers on bad teams get saves too, and they do.
Yeah,
but I don't like my chances as much.
Well, it might be more important in a points league than a roto league because in roto you might not have as much chance to win the saves category, but at least you'll get the good whip and maybe the good strikeout totals. I think that's a little overrated because the innings are so low for these guys compared to your starting pitchers. But no, I mean, look, remember what was the argument came up when we were talking about the Jake McGee trade when he hit going to Colorado, and we looked and Colorado is a terrible team for closers year after year. I went back like 4 or 5 years and they were like in the bottom 5 in save chances, year after year after year, and sometimes they were like the worst in save chances, or maybe it was just saves.
I'm going to guess if we look at the last 5 to 10 years, there's going to be a direct correlation between winning teams and top 10 closers.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So, but Hoover, I feel like there's a, you know, they don't have a great bullpen, but he walks so many hitters. So he was really bad in his save opportunities in the past. Not that they were all that plentiful.
Like, if you're in a mixed league, I think you're largely avoiding the Cincinnati bullpen.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That said, he did have a sub-3 ERA in 3 of 4 seasons. So it's not terrible. Okay. Well, there we go. Heath, we did a couple of mock drafts recently. We did an AL-only mock draft, and we did a head-to-head categories mock draft. Now, we don't give the AL-only, NL-only formats that much love on the podcast, so let's talk about the AL-only mock draft for just a few minutes here and some of the takeaways that you had from that draft.
Okay. Well, when we decided we were going to talk about the mock drafts, I told you, okay, I'll get the head-to-head categories draft pulled up.
Oh, okay.
So now I'm going to pull up the one that you decided you want to talk about instead. And I kind of feel similar to you on AL and NL only in that they're not as much fun.
Yeah.
But we did it. I took Carlos Correa 3rd. I thought you had a really interesting decision.
Yeah, I had the 5th pick.
In picking 5th.
Well, I'll tell you who went off. So it was Trout 1, Donaldson 2, Correa 3 to you, and then I was going to take Manny Machado because you think about, Donaldson was gone, and then there's like Machado and Arenado and Chris Bryant. Well, the other two were in the NL. So I really wanted Manny Machado. Scott took him 4th, so I took Miguel Cabrera. And I'm not unhappy with it because Jose Abreu and Edwin Encarnacion and Chris Davis were gone by my next pick, so I was fine taking a first baseman there. Yeah, that was, it was either going to be him or Altuve at that point, I guess.
I know Scott was very unhappy with his decision to pass on Miggy. Like, he agonized over it, and he had Miggy ranked higher in his rankings, and then he chose Machado. And then almost immediately, he saw Miggy, Chris Davis, and E5 go off the board in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And the best player available when he picked again was Todd Frazier, but he already had a third baseman.
Yeah, and Todd Frazier went one pick after him to you.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's a huge difference between Machado and Frazier. This is a roto format, so you do get the steals with Frazier, but gosh, I would much rather have Machado than Frazier.
Oh, yes, I think everyone would, but who's the next best first baseman?
The next best first baseman would be Hosmer.
And he was taken at the end of the fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
So is the difference greater between Machado and Frazier, or Miggy and Eric Hosmer? I think it's pretty clearly Miggy and Eric Hosmer.
Yeah, I agree with that. This was a 10-team league. It was rotisserie, so 5x5 categories. But, you know, not head-to-head categories, but five hitting, five pitching categories. And one thing I noticed, we were doing, you baseball fans might know Jonah Carey. Well, he is now part of the CBS team. He did not draft a starting pitcher until round 12.
And was very confident in his approach.
I went very light on starting pitcher, but he took it to a whole nother level. So if we want to take a look at Jonah Carey's team,
I think he took three relievers before he took a starting pitcher.
He took two relievers before he
took a
starting pitcher. Okay, so here's Jonah's team. I'll start with his pitching staff. Okay. So it is...
You're going to start with the worst part of his team?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's refresh on that. It's Kevin Gausman, Jake Odorizzi, Matt Shoemaker, Edinson Volquez. And,
you got Blake Snell?
Yeah, and Blake Snell.
That's awful.
Yeah, and Cody Allen, Joaquin Benoit, who's not even the closer, and Roberto Ozuna, who may not even be the closer.
And David Robertson.
Oh, and David Robertson, yeah. So he's got two closers, so he'll be fine there. Now, his hitting is going to be really good, right? He's got Hank Conger and Russell Martin.
Which is above average catchers in the AL-only league.
Yes, absolutely. It's a two-catcher league. Encarnacion, Odor, Longoria, Ian Desmond. Hopefully he'll be in the AL. We're not playing this out, by the way. Ian Kinsler at middle infield. Yonder Alonso at corner infield. Mookie Betts, Shin-Soo Chu, Dexter Fowler, Anthony Gose, Mark Trumbo, and at DH he has Miguel Sano. I mean, we're not going to play this out, so I don't know how this is going to turn out, but it just strikes me as a bad strategy. I wouldn't go that far of drafting pitchers.
Well, the strategy is I'm going to go win saves. I'm going to go win whip. I'm going to go win ERA.
Okay, well, that's actually interesting.
And then I'm going to have better hitters than everybody else.
It doesn't strike me like his hitters are so amazing. Though,
well,
you know?
That's the thing that I looked at is I'm not sure how much better his hitters are than mine.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, his hitters are probably better than mine, but not that much better. We're not going to read our teams. You can see the results online. Just major takeaways. I think like dual eligibility in this format's really important. So
yes.
A guy I wanted was Starlin Castro, is eligible at both middle infield positions. He went earlier than I thought he would. To George, I think. I thought the depth at second base was pretty solid. And I thought there were only about seven aces, so you in AL only, so you might want to make sure you get one in the first two rounds if you prioritize aces.
I thought there was no trouble finding steals. There was no trouble finding strikeouts.
Okay.
It was a little bit more difficult to find power, especially later in the draft. But steals late, like you said, even in the AL only, I got Jared Dyson pretty late.
I think that... Oh, yeah. Well, how many Royals did you take, by the way?
Well, it's an AL only, so there's only half the teams.
Yeah.
I only had... This was something interesting. I only had one hitter from the American League East.
Well, how many Royals did you have?
Pitchers from the American League East. So I had one player on my whole team from one-third of the league.
That's probably a bad idea, considering how good the American League East lineups are.
Really?
Well, last year, I mean, Toronto,
right.
Boston,
Toronto
and the
would
Yankees.
Be nice to have.
So, anyway,
how many Royals did I have?
How many Royals?
I only have one pitcher, Ian Kennedy.
Okay.
I have Kendrys Morales as my DH.
Uh huh.
I have Alex Gordon and Jerod Dyson in the outfield.
Uh huh.
And that's it.
Okay, that's not so bad.
I think I had more Astros.
Good. They're going to win the World Series, so I would hope you have more Astros.
That's, I had four of their pitchers.
How are the Royals 84.5 win total? People are betting the under on that. Can you believe that? What is, no respect.
Well, I think that because they're looking at all the unbiased projection systems, and they're all predicting them to be under 500.
It's ridiculous. Their win total, I think, going into last year was even lower than that.
Yeah. Yeah,
they've been in the World Series twice.
I believe it was quite possibly under 80.
Ooh, yeah. It was pathetically low, and they are so underrated. It's amazing to say that a team that's gone to the World Series twice in a row has largely the same team is underrated.
Well, that's the thing is Chris Towers was making fun of them for sticking with this nobody believes in us thing that sports teams do. And like, how can you go to the World Series 2 years in a row and say nobody believes in you?
Yeah.
But when everybody's predicting you to finish third or worst in the division, it seems like it kind of like nobody believes in you.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, the head-to-head categories mock draft, Heath. Any major takeaways from that? I'll tell you, so this format I think is popular more on other sites, and this
right.
is head-to-head categories, but sort of points league rosters, like one catcher, only three outfielders, no corner infield, no middle infield. So not nearly as deep as our standard roto, five starting pitchers, two relievers. And this is where like a guy like Billy Hamilton could win you steals almost every week because there aren't that many guys in your lineup. You know, it's like I found steals to be very different in this format with only three outfielders, you know, less hitters. So one guy can have a huge impact on your steals every week.
He could, but is it overkill?
It might be because he's also going to have his deficiencies in other categories are also going to be more pronounced because he doesn't have, you know, more hitters to make up for it.
Right. The thing that I noticed in this, we always tell people we don't have specific rankings for head-to-head categories. And I've generally told people just use roto rankings.
Yeah.
And I like that works fine for the positional rankings. The top 300, though, it gets pretty wonky. Because I got to a certain point in the draft where most of my best players available were catchers. But you only need one catcher in this league, so I had way too many catchers ranked in the middle to the end of my top 250.
Yeah, you have to adjust for that. But
you do have to adjust for that, and you don't need the outfielders much. I had an interesting start to this draft. I took Rizzo in the first and Chris Davis in the second because I can play Davis in the outfield.
This was my favorite team that I had drafted.
Oh, good. Well, we should hear about it then.
I would like a team to look like this. I'm a little concerned about the infield, but...
But you just tell me who you have at each position, and I will tell you if you're better or worse than me.
Okay. So, catcher, have you as Monty Grandal?
You're worse than me.
Now, who do you have?
Brian McCann.
Yeah, I agree. First base, I have Edwin Encarnacion.
I think you're worse than me, but it's close. I have Rizzo.
I agree, I'm worse than you. Second base, I have Ian Kinsler.
It's a push in my mind, but I would think you probably think you're ahead of me. I have Colton Wong.
Yes, I do think I'm ahead of you. Third base, I have Adrian Beltre.
You're behind me. I have Anthony Rendon.
Probably behind you, but not necessarily. Xander Bogaerts. It's short.
You're way ahead of me. I've got Ketel Marte.
My outfield is McCutchen, Springer, and Corey Dickerson. Really, really like it.
That's a very good outfield and much better than mine, although I like mine, of Blackman, Chris Davis, and Gregory Polanco.
Oh, yeah, and that's another good one. And at utility, I have Ben Revere, one of my favorite picks. I took him in the 12th round. I feel like Ben Revere is going to help me win steals just about every week in this 5x5 head-to-head categories format.
And I've got Kendrys Morales.
Much different.
It's a completely different, but I think Morales is going to be better in two categories. Revere's going to be better in two categories, and we'll see who scores more runs.
Okay, fair enough. Starlin Castro, Jorge Soler on my bench.
All I have is Matt Duffy.
Okay. My pitchers. So I was one pick away from getting Steven Strasburg to be my ace, but you took him.
Yes.
So that did bother me a little bit, but I have Garrett Cole and Carlos Martinez.
Let's just go with your first two. Are Garrett Cole and Carmart?
Yes.
My first two are Strasburg and Carlos Carrasco.
Yeah, yours is...
Okay.
Slightly better, but we took pitchers like one. We took them basically in the same spot.
I think though Strasburg.
I think I took Cole right after Strasburg. No.
Okay, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. So I have Cole, Carlos Martinez, Hisashi Iwakuma, Taiwan Walker, and Joe Ross. And I have Aaron Nola, Eduardo Rodriguez, and Nathan Eovaldi on my bench. And I feel like...
Who are your relievers?
Santiago Garcia and Houston Street.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to kill you in stills. In saves.
Yeah, it's fine. You invested too much in it, as always. I feel like there's so many young pitchers that have so much upside, like Martinez and Ross and Taijuan Walker and Aaron Nola and Eduardo Rodriguez. And I feel like I want two or three on all of my teams. I have five. I might have a little bit too much upside.
Right.
But I do like my pitching staff. But go ahead. So again, it's Cole Carmart, Iwakuma, Joe Ross, Taijuan Walker, and then on the bench, Aaron Nola, Eduardo Rodriguez, and Nathan Eovaldi.
Well, I already mentioned that I had Strasburg and Carrasco.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Cueto, Kazmir, and Yordano Ventura are my next three.
Oh, my God. My pitching is so much better than yours. It's not even close.
Like, there's a pretty decent chance that Johnny Cueto is a top 15 pitcher this year.
And a fairly decent chance he's, like, outside the top 50.
I don't know why. He never has been.
Because of his arm. His elbow. If he pitches the way he pitched on the Royals, he'll probably be outside the top 50.
He's back in the National League. He's fine.
Okay.
And fine. If he pitches like he did in the playoffs, we'll be okay. Anyway, on the bench,
no,
I've got Cashner, Jimmy Nelson, Edinson Volquez, and Trevor Bauer.
Yeah, I like your Trevor Bauer pick. I actually picked him in AL only because I saw you take him in this mock draft, and I thought people might be giving up a little too early on Trevor Bauer.
But I'd say your pitching overall, your starters are better than mine. My relievers are better than yours.
Yeah, who are they? They're Wade Davis and someone else on the Royal. Wade Davis and Kelvin Herrera.
No, Sean Tolson.
Yeah, Tolson is very interesting to me. I never watched him last year and thought, like, oh, this guy's a stud. Like, I could see Tolson being a one-hit wonder. I don't have a great reason for it, though. I'm going to throw that out there. More of a gut feeling. Any thoughts?
More of a gut feeling. I think we need more gut feelings.
Sometimes it happens with relievers. Like I don't think AJ Ramos is as good as his numbers have indicated, and I think Carter Capps is gonna get that job.
I think I'm not buying into Carter Capps.
Oh, I am totally buying into Carter Capps.
I'm sure. This is the same thing you guys do to me with every sports team in South Florida.
No.
There's these guys that everybody here loves that nobody else is excited about as
you
guys are.
You can't tell me that I shouldn't have been excited about Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller is an awesome football player. It's the Dolphins' fault that he wasn't, and he was like the number five running back in fantasy.
Right.
So, you know, maybe if you want to say
Lamar Miller was good.
He's very good.
Yeah.
But anyway, Carter Capps, once he changed his delivery and started cheating all the time and they let him get away with it, and they said, you're allowed to cheat. It's totally legal. Carter Capps is one of the best relievers in baseball. The numbers bear that out.
Okay.
Okay. Let's read more emails. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. You can also tweet us at Heath Cummings, SR, Heath Cummings Sr., and at Adam Azer, AIZER. Okay, Trevor Dunning says, the hype for Odor is very similar to the hype for Colton Wong last year. Wong stunk. Will Odor meet the hype, or will Odor stink? Get it?
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, it's very funny.
I don't think Odor is going to stink. I'm not sure he can meet... I think there's a pretty wide range on what people are expecting from Odor this year, right?
I don't know. I know he's Scott's favorite player.
Well, I think Al even has him higher than Scott.
Really? I'm pretty high on him, too. Where are you?
I'm looking on Fantasy Pros. I'm going to guess that Scott and Al are the two highest. No. Scott and Al and I are the three highest on Odor.
Wow. Okay. What's not to like about Odor?
So, Scott, we all have him as our fourth second baseman, and nobody else does.
Okay. Yeah, there's only one thing I've found that I don't really like about Odor, but you talk about him. What do you expect from Rougned Odor?
I think he has a, like, of the players at second base, he has some of the highest upside.
Yeah.
He doesn't have Altuve upside, but he is the only one not ranked in the top three that I could really see finishing in the top three. But there's also, like, he's taken a pretty circuitous route to get here.
Mm-hmm.
He's had his fair share of struggles. And I don't understand why he has such a low BABIP over the first 2 years. Like, I feel like he should be a much higher batting average guy than he's been. If that happens, then he's going to come much closer to meeting our expectations.
Well, there's only one thing that, I shouldn't say only one thing, but one thing that could worry me about Rougned Odor.
That he never walks?
That's not a good thing either. 23 walks in 120 games, but not a ton of strikeouts. I mean, 79 strikeouts, not terrible, right, in 120 games? But what worries me is that he might bat eighth. And last year he batted seventh and eighth more than any other spot. I think he batted second, the third most. But he batted toward the bottom of the order a lot. And, you know, I know I get into arguments with Scott about this. How important is it? Scott might say, and he has a good point, that it is important, but it's also hard to predict because things could change instantly. He could bat eighth for the first 2 weeks of the season, and then all of a sudden he's batting second for the rest. And I agree. But if they like DeShields and Shin-Soo Chu, one and two in the lineup, then Odor, if he's batting eighth, I'll just give you some numbers. He averaged 4.2 at-bats per game and 0.64 runs per game when batting second. 4.2 at-bats and 0.64 runs per game when batting second. When he batted eighth, 3.3 at-bats per game, almost one fewer at-bat per game, and 0.59 runs per game. So from 0.64 to 0.59. It's not a huge difference, but it's a difference. It's a little concerning. I don't know if he could reach his potential if he's getting one less at bat a game. It's a big deal to me.
I get that. I'm somewhere in between you and Scott on that. I do agree with Scott that it's really not very predictable, especially when you've got quite a few injury-prone players in that Rangers lineup, so things could be changing. I don't know that I expect him to keep up his home run pace from last year either. But I do think his batting average should be a lot better. The problem is, especially if you're in a league where on base is important, you have to downgrade him. Because,
right. Actually, that was our next question. Is from Leo. He says, thoughts on his value, on Odor's value in a 14 team on base percentage head to head league. So head to head categories league with OBP.
It does hurt him because he doesn't, I mean, you gave the raw or the counting numbers, but. Mm-hmm. His walk percentage is below 5% so far in the major leagues, and it was right around 6 in the minors, so I don't think it's going up very much.
Okay.
So that basically means it's going to be very difficult for his on base to be more than 40, maybe 50 points higher than his average.
Here's an email from, or a tweet from Eddie. 12 team head to head, how late can I wait to take my first pitcher, and are people overreacting and having Felix Hernandez in the 70s overall?
I think people are overreacting to Felix Hernandez, yes. I'm not quite on board with Scott's take pitcher approach we've seen in the last couple of drafts. That wasn't in the first round, but he seems to have two to three of them by the fourth. I don't want to miss out on one of the top 12.
Yeah.
And I want two of the top 20.
Like, you know, you could... Okay, so I keep ending up with Gerrit Cole as my ace, and I don't
feel great about that.
I don't mind it, but I don't love it. You know, right. I'd feel better if that were Bumgarner. That being said, it's not going to surprise me at all if you know, Cole finally like really breaks out, has like a Cy Young caliber season, and ends up being better. Like, that wouldn't surprise me, and I could say the same thing for Carrasco and a lot of guys in that range. But still, the guys that have done it consistently year over year, pitching over 200 innings, there aren't that many of them. It's, you know, so I do want one of those guys. If possible.
I'm going to take a pitcher in the third or fourth round.
Yeah, that's what I usually do. And then I might take another in the fifth, and I might have three by the seventh. But again, I want to load up in the round like 10 to 12 range on the young guys with so much upside. Oh, also, Tom Verducci wrote a very interesting article about pitchers that he's red flagging based on innings. Let's save it for another podcast. But it's,
I read it
based on who he red flagged last year. They all had bad years.
That's the part I didn't want to hear. Like, who he red flagged last year? One of them had a knee injury before the season started.
Yeah, but the other ones, I mean, they were pretty much, it was pretty legit.
Another one that he red flagged last year was Jordan Ventura, and he cited the fact that his ERA skyrocketed. His FIP was almost identical to the year before.
But he really struggled last year. He got demoted.
He was his best performance, Jordan Ventura's, his best performance was in the last 2 months of the season. When he should have, in theory, been the tiredest.
Okay. Is tiredest a word?
I said, no, tiredest is not a word. You got me a little flustered.
All right. A few more here. We'll skip the Felix Hernandez when we got time to talk about it. From Adrian, who's a better pick in the final round of my draft? I can keep him for 2 more years. Berrios, Giolito, or Glasnow?
I would think that Giolito is the most likely to be a stud on your team in 2 years, but Glasnow is the most likely to help you this year.
Okay. Right, that's good context. Let's go to Jonah in San Francisco. He says, hey, Matt, Brandon, and Joe. Oh, I know those guys.
Those are Giants infielders.
Yes, they are. 10-team points league. Do you guys mind giving me some advice about which players have the biggest ranking splits in points league versus roto league rankings? Who to target, who to stay away from in a points league?
I would stay away from Billy Hamilton in a points league.
Okay.
I think we discussed Carlos Santana as one of those guys having a big split between his value and the two.
Oh, much, much better in points leagues.
Yes. Basically, I think a really easy way to look at it is look at guys that have a lot of doubles and not very many strikeouts, and they're probably better in points leagues.
The guy that comes to mind is Denard Span in points leagues. He is so much better and so underrated in points leagues as well. Denard Span, just like a kind of a specialist, doubles, triples, that kind of stuff.
If you walk a lot, don't strike out and hit extra base hits that are not home runs, you're a points league guy.
And if you platoon, you'll be better in roto because just, you know, you'll probably have a better batting average if you're not facing a lefty that kills you.
Right.
And, it doesn't matter as much. At bats don't seem to matter as much in the final roto rankings as they do in the points league rankings. Okay. Corey from West Monroe, Louisiana. Dear fantasy and analyst, that's me and Heath. I know y'all might not be putting out all or any of the projections, but would like your thoughts on a few of the oddball ones that show up. So these are our Sportsline projections that he's picking out.
Okay.
And no, we don't do these, but Sportsline is a computer simulation model. Go to sportsline.com, by the way. It's cool.
It is very cool, and they've got some good projections, and I'm interested. As you read these out, I'm going to pull up what Steamer has for these guys.
Yeah, and honestly, I didn't double check these, so I hope they're right, but our emails are usually right. Okay, so one last thing about Sportsline. Like last year, there were definitely some football projections that made us raise our eyebrows. Like, who was it? Charles Johnson?
Yeah.
The guys were very, very high on, and Sportsline wasn't at all, and he was a huge bust. So Sportsline,
sometimes the numbers are right.
Yeah, yeah. It's very, very good stuff. Not to say it's always right. Wilson Ramos, huge year, 20 home runs, 80 RBI, 584 at bats. Carlos Correa, 34 home runs. Steven Piscotty, 302, 22 homers, 96 RBI. And this is probably the one that I would disagree with. Well, Ramos, you know, he just never stays healthy. But Patrick Corbin, I think he could have a nice year. And apparently Sportsline has Corbin with a 408 ERA and a 133 whip in 32 starts.
Now, Ramos last year had 504 plate appearances. I'm just taking these one by one.
Okay.
So last year he had 504 plate appearances. Steamer's got him projected for 408.
And Sportsline,
I would agree that 584 seems a little bit high.
Okay.
But I don't think the ratios are that far off. Like, I think if he has 500, that he could be a 16 home run, 70 RBI guy.
Okay. How about Correa, 34 home runs?
The thing about projection systems is it's very difficult for them to regression generally means back to what was. With Carlos Correa, the only thing the projection system has to see with what was is what he did last year. They're not going to say Carlos Correa should regress to being a normal shortstop because he's not anywhere close to a normal shortstop.
Okay.
34 seems a little bit high, but I understand where it's coming from.
Steven Piscotty, 302 batting average, 22 homers, 96 RBI.
I can believe the 302 batting average for Piscotty. I don't know that I would not expect him to hit in a place in the order to where he has a chance to have that many RBI, and I think he's probably more of a 15 home run guy.
Okay.
But again, these are my thoughts versus the computer. The computer's going to be right sometimes. And then Corbin's the one that you think is just it's way too pessimistic for him.
Yeah, I think he's a really good pitcher. I think he's going to get back on track. What he showed us 2 years ago before he seemed to really tire out at the end.
Yeah. The difficulty is, like, his really good year, he had a 3.4 ERA.
Yeah, but I think he was a case, this was 2 years ago?
That was in 2013, yes.
I think that was a case of a guy kind of like Carlos Martinez reaching an innings total that he hadn't reached before and running out of gas at the end of the season. Because I can update you. I'll give you what he had been doing up until like the last month, and it was really impressive.
So you don't think that he's going to have an innings limit this year, though?
I don't know, but I think the fact that he's
last
already...
Last year he threw basically 102 innings.
And how many did he throw in 2013?
Well, in 2014 he threw zero because he missed the whole year. In 2013 he threw 208.
Yeah, I don't think he should have a problem with
I think he might throw 180.
All right, so on August 20th, 2013, Corbin had a 2.45 ERA.
Okay.
And he threw a complete game with 10 strikeouts.
What you're telling me is 3 years ago, this kid doubled. Now, he didn't quite double. In fact, he threw 208 innings after throwing 180 the year before. So it wasn't even that big a jump. And he broke down from throwing that many innings, was terrible in the last month of the season, and got hurt. He missed a year. The next year he threw 100 innings, and you think he's going to throw 200 again this year?
I don't know. It wouldn't shock me. But even still, I just think the numbers are too high. 4.08 ERA and a 1.33 whip. I think he's a much better pitcher than that.
I think it probably depends on if they try to throw him 200 innings. If they throw him 200 innings, my numbers might be pretty close to being right because he might break down again.
I almost called him Tyrone Corbin, but he's Patrick Corbin.
His career whip's 1.23.
Forget about the career. I feel like the only better things are to come for Patrick Corbin, in my opinion.
Okay. I would like it. I don't ever get real excited about guys that are striking out 7.5 batters per nine. I think there's a ceiling on those guys.
Okay. Ryan in Fort Wayne, last email. Dear Wilson, Rawlings, and Mizuno.
Those are types of gloves.
What would you prefer if you were buying a glove? What would you go with?
None of these guys are sponsors of ours. I think my past few have been Rawlings.
Yeah, I would go Rawlings or Wilson. I haven't really dipped into the Mizuno pool, but I suppose I would. All right, in a recent mock draft, I had the second overall pick. I selected Paul Goldschmidt. My second pick found Edwin Encarnacion as the next best available player. I took him for my utility spot, and I felt fine with Goldschmidt and Encarnacion as my first two picks. How do you feel about filling your utility spot with your second pick?
It's risky. It's a high risk. Like, the thing is, if you got E5 with the next to last pick, the second round, that's a huge value.
It might be too good to pass up.
I don't like it. I don't like the theory of having two first basemen and nothing else. But, like you just said, I think that's too good a value to pass up.
We did our auction last year. I don't think you were in that league, right?
No, I did not participate in any baseball auctions last year.
I had a total brain fart during the auction, and I took Edwin Encarnacion as a $260 budget. I don't remember the dollar values, but let's say I took him for like $33.
Uh-huh.
And then, for whatever reason, I got caught up in the bidding for Anthony Rizzo, and I took him for like $34 or $5, you know, something like that. And by themselves, I was fine with the values, and then I said, oh my gosh, I already have Encarnacion. Why did I just take Rizzo? And I tied up almost $70 of my money and my utility or my corner infield spot. It's a little bit different because we still had a utility spot to fill. And I did not like it. I was really disappointed with it. But at the end of the day, I came in second last year. Was able to figure out my hitting, you know, throughout the year. And I had two great players. It was a good way to start. So I would not do it again, but it did not completely, you know, derail my team.
Right. I think that's it can work out very well. It is a more risky strategy.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff, Heath.
Yeah. I think it went pretty well.
Only the good die young.
Well, that's, you want me to name? That's Billy Joel.
Yeah. Okay. We're going out on a high note here. Good job.
But I still, like, I wouldn't have chosen that as one of the three Billy Joel songs.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah. I'm glad that we got to get to that, and I'm sure people will have plenty of emails about Heath's terrible music knowledge.
It's just stunning. That's all it is. That's Heath Cummings. I'm Adam Azer. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll come back next week and talk more position previews and answer more of your questions. See you later.